Welcome to the TMFL podcast. This is podcast number 12. I am your host and commissioner, Keller, and I have a new co-host this time around. Everyone welcome in Jay Mustang, the Texans owner. John, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
So Rush has officially exited the league for this season. He'll be back next year, but in order to keep these podcasts going at least somewhat, we'll have John in for this last season. Hopefully we'll get him in for Madden 12 as well. So on to the podcast. This week, we're just going to do some announcements surrounding the draft and such. We'll go around the league and talk about postseason results. We'll do the, some draftee highlights, I guess, is kind of how I want to word that. We'll talk about some of the upcoming draftees. We'll talk some of the free agents that we're going to be releasing into the general pool for everyone to bid on. Should be a really big year for free agency. And then, John, you want to talk about Madden 12 at all? I wrote that down, but I don't think I really have anything to cover. Anything in particular you want to talk about for Madden 12?
There's not too much new stuff right now. I guess that we've heard recently. We're still waiting on that July update, but that's going to be after NCAA 12 release and the whole NCAA frenzy coming around.
Right, it's like July 25th or something like that, I think. Okay, let's get into the actual podcast then. So for announcements, as everyone should know by now, the draft is this Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm hoping that it's going to be 9 p.m. sharp. So if you're not there, don't be surprised if I get started right on time. This is going to be a fast season. I want to let everyone know that. For season 5, we're going to move to 3 advances a week. We have to in order to get the entire season in before Madden 12 comes out. And then, as some of you probably know, I will be on vacation here in July. I'm going to take a week off. I'll be gone. I will have very, very limited access to a computer. And you guys are going to use that time to get your rosters ready for free agency. So it'll be after the draft, and you're going to basically tell me, who do you want to sign of your rookies? Who of all the people who are not under contract are you signing? So it's like a restricted free agency period where you're signing your guys before you release them. And then you're going to release everyone else into free agency. And then when I return, we're going to open up free agency. I'll sign off on all of your rosters to make sure that your spreadsheets are in good shape. And then we'll get started hopefully around July 10th.
All right.
Will be when we're going to start season 5.
Where are you going? You didn't say where you're vacationing at.
Oh, well, it's not really that. It's not like I'm going to, you know, the Bahamas or anything like that. I'm just going down to Kentucky to a friend's lake house. Just going to kind of hang out for the 4th of July. Just do some, you know, skiing and tubing and, you know, drinking and that sort of thing. But I'll be gone for a week. So you guys are just going to have to deal with the slow downtime. And then I'm moving as soon as I come back. I'll be moving my entire operation to a couple miles down the road. So, okay, let's get into around the league. And then, John, I kind of want you to chime in here when we talk about these games. I didn't write a whole lot about these games. Unfortunately, I don't have the time to do that. So let's talk wild card round. So the Titans beat the Ravens 34-27. And that was kind of the shock of the postseason for me. I didn't expect anybody to beat the Ravens until maybe the AFC Championship. Flacco threw 3 interceptions. I think that was kind of my highlight from the game. And not really sure what else to say about it. John, is that kind of what's your shock of the postseason? That's got to rank up there somewhere, right?
I don't know. Titans just seemed like they were a worse team than they were because Johnson got hurt. But when he was playing for them, I think they may have lost 1 game during the regular season. So they were hot with Johnson. They weren't being stopped. And I kind of figured he would. I didn't want to play against him in the playoffs. That's for sure. I knew how he beat me down with Johnson. It's hard to stop if you know what you're doing. So I don't think this shocked me as much. It was a close game, too. It's not like it was a blowout either way.
Yeah, 34-27 with Flacco throwing 3 interceptions. But I figured, you know, you'd faced him twice. It's kind of that battle of running backs when you guys would play.
He was actually pretty good again. I burned him, I shouldn't say burned him. I beat him the 1 game because he didn't have Johnson for one, and he couldn't get it running with his backups. And I was able to get some big pass plays. He was actually pretty good against the run. I got a few runs here and there, moved the chain some, but I won that second game on the on my passing offense and his inability to get the ball going. I think more of my shock was the way he beat Oakland, because I thought they're a more unstoppable team going into the playoffs than any other.
Yeah, we'll get to that here in a minute. On to the Saints and the Giants. So the Saints and the Giants played. The Saints won 31-14. My little snippets from this game were just that wide receiver, Randy McClain, had a nice game, and the defense seemed to really shut down the Giants. Defending NFC champs ended up going out in the wild card round. Kind of the similar thing that happened to Rush last season, right? Went to the Super Bowl, and then I think he went out in the divisional round last season. So this kind of the championship game letdown. Isn't that what happens in the real NFL? Once you go to the Super Bowl, you kind of have that slump of a year where you can't seem to get anything
right.
Well,
a lot of times they don't even go back to the playoffs, so at least they made it.
Well, I mean, with the amount of teams that we have. You know.
I mean, you expected him to get back there. I think he kind of had a letdown year just after how good of a year he had last year, and especially with last year being a much more loaded NFC, in my opinion, than this year.
I think the NFC's – I mean, overall, the NFC's had more teams than the AFC, obviously. So it's always been a loaded conference, but – you know, but whatever.
I mean, the Eagles are gone. Where they had to play them a little bit at the beginning. And,
that's true.
And it just seems he, I mean, he still obviously did had a successful season, but it was kind of a letdown year after last year, even some of the regular season losses.
I don't know. I would tend to disagree that the NFC lost a step when the Eagles left, because the Packers have been getting better and better. They've been coming around. So, and then Peyton Manning obviously went to the Packers this year. So. I don't know. It's whatever. Just a matter of opinion. But I think the one thing I wanted to say about the Giants is I don't think that team is, I think that team has peaked. You know what I mean? So
they're
excellence
old.
Is really going to have to, yeah, it's an old team. So excellence is really going to have to work some trades or really play out of his mind. Play better than he did this year, I guess.
Yeah, well, he's paying extra money for slowing down regress players that aren't playing up to the contracts anymore.
Exactly. That's the one thing I wanted to highlight. So let's talk about your game. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about this. So you beat the Broncos 38-24, and my highlight from the game was just that Andre Johnson had a huge game, had three TDs. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, this one we played earlier in the year, and it was, I think it might have been nearly the same result as well as far as the final score. Basically, I was able to get both sides of the offense going. As soon as he tried to key in on my pass, I could get Copeland. Copeland had a huge game.
Run game.
156 yards. He didn't get the end zone as much as he normally does, but it's because Johnson was very good in the red zone. He had a couple of red zone touchdowns and one long bomb touchdown. And my biggest thing is I was able to – he was champ on the right side who got it up real early with a pick six after I stopped him, kind of – put me on my heels a little bit. I was a little worried, but I was able to recover, and we had a blowout second quarter where it was just touchdown back and forth for a little bit, and then second half it totally slowed down. I think there was like 13 points scored total in the second half, so it slowed down a bit. Defense started to get to work, but basically I was able to key. He started to jam my receivers a lot, and with the two receivers I have, they're big. Fast.
Yeah, that's a big mistake.
He kept jamming them, and I'd see that. I'd either, they'd be in a route I'd like, or I'd hot route them, one of them up the field, and hike the ball, and they're gone. They just leave the non-champ Bailey corner. I forgot what his name, Cox. They just leave him in the dust, and I'd have a wide open, over-the-shoulder pass, or Johnson was about 15-yard cushion that he just grabbed it and just walked in, basically. And Scott had a few. He had an over-the-shoulder catch, and he had one awesome diving catch that was pretty sweet. But after that, once I was able to get up on him, I just ground Copeland into his D, and he made some attempts, but he couldn't quite recover from that one. But Kosh had a real big game where I kind of slowed him down during the regular season, and Thomas had a better game then, but this time I slowed on Thomas, but Kosh had about seven catches for near a 175 or something like that.
Yeah, that Bronco offense is they put up a lot of yards and a lot of points, but it seems like their defense always lets them down. Man, you got a freaking memory like a steel trap. That's like 2 weeks ago that you played that game, it seems like. Anyway, the Falcons also they defeated the Packers 27-24. It was kind of one of those close games it looked like. Unfortunately for the Packers, I don't think the Packers have ever beaten the Falcons when he was the Vikings, when he was the Packers. I don't think he's ever beaten the Falcons, but lost on a 51-yard field goal as time expired. Tough break for CWT, tough break for Corey, and the Packers owner with Peyton Manning. I wonder, did he retire? I have my console up right now. I'm gonna
I haven't
check real
looked yet. I
quick.
just looked in, at my my team's progression the other day. I haven't looked at all the retirees.
Yeah, that's about all I've looked at. Give me just 1 second to
Yeah.
see if he
If he did
actually
retire,
retired.
that's a
Nope, he didn't. Peyton Manning
what,
returns.
43 now?
He's 38, it says. Anyway, okay, so Peyton Manning will be back, so the Packers will have a good shot next year as well. Let's move on to the division round. So you said this was more of a shocker for you when the Titans beat the Raiders 28-13, the 15-1 Raiders, I might add. My sort of snippets from the game were just that Chris Johnson seemed like he was unstoppable, 200 yards, three touchdowns, and then also the rookie quarterback Quigley, who had a phenomenal year for being a rookie quarterback, ended up throwing four interceptions. So, kind of a tough loss for the Raiders. And you know what? I haven't heard a peep out of Joe Hudd
Yeah, he's
since
probably
that
a little
game.
bitter still from that because I played him in the season. He just, took me out. And I couldn't get anything going. So, I as this is a surprise, I wasn't going to count the Titans out in any of these games with Chris Johnson on his roster and able to play. I just he's so fast.
He's as I'll talk about in my game, he's a difference maker. On to the Cowboys and Falcons. 34-31 Cowboys win. Kind of in the same mold, late field goal to end up winning. And the Falcons and the Cowboys always have these high scoring games, lots of points, lots of big plays. But my only takeaway from the game was just that the Cowboys had to score 10 unanswered points
Yeah.
basically in the fourth quarter alone to come back and win that game, even though the last, 3 points came with time basically expired. But yeah, I nothing really else to
Yeah, it
say
looked like
about
the
that.
Falcons
Rush.
poured it on in the third quarter there, but they didn't do anything in the fourth. They didn't score, and that looked like to be the difference. They didn't close that game out at all.
Yeah, that third quarter is probably a bomb to old
Yeah.
Boris, whatever his name, Roland, and then maybe Rush finally got on top of that. Hard to say, I guess, but nice job by the Cowboys. And then our game, I ended up winning 35-10. We talked about this a little bit on the forums, just that kind of felt like you pretty much had the game taken out of your hands with the fumble and then the roughing the kicker, which at the time I did not know that you weren't actually controlling the guy that roughed the kicker. Had I known that, I would have just declined it.
Not only an attempt to really get in there, that's just that stupid guy around the corner somehow hits him. Happened against the 49ers that let him get another chance for a kick, and it screwed me twice now. But even if he was a field goal, I was still down two scores. I mean, the field goal made it a three-score game that really put it away. But I was
Yeah,
feeling
right,
good in that
right.
first drive. I was able to, pretty much do
Yeah,
what I
that first
wanted
drive.
almost until
Yeah, I had no answer for you defensively. I threw, vanilla zone. I blitzed the house. I threw everything I could think at you, and you seemed like you always had a counter on that first drive. And so I was concerned after that drive that, that's what the whole game was going to be like, which, I mean, is a great game, but it's a stressful
Yeah.
game. I guess
Whoever gets the
luckily
ball
I was
last,
able.
but then I guess my team, it just
Yeah.
took the wind out of them on that fumble, and they didn't play, didn't seem to play the same after that, or maybe I didn't play the same after that. I don't know. I just couldn't
Yeah, I mean,
get
it's
going.
tough when you get down like that. Like you said, you get down like three scores, and then all of a sudden everything's out of hand. And I think Copeland only had like,
Five
what,
carries,
four or
yeah.
five? Yeah, five
Well,
carries.
I try to
So
run a balance attack, and if you throw me off my balance, it messes me up.
I'm the same way. I'm the exact same way. Even in the Super Bowl, when I was down, I still ended up running the ball like 17 times, I think. And that's just because I have to keep that threat of the run there. Otherwise, I'm just not effective on offense at all. I'm the same way. And then the Saints freaking blew out my pick for the NFC, the 49ers, 45-14. That Saints defense got three interceptions off of Rock Hargrove. Poor Rock Hargrove. If he was a player in next year's Madden game, he'd get that one star consistency rating because
Choker.
It seems like he's a boom or bust guy. He either has a great game or a terrible game. Poor bring back Jimmy.
No sympathy.
All right. How many times have you guys played in the Deuce?
A few times, about four or time, five now, maybe, time. And twice now in here. He's beat me both times in here. In the last one, he beat me by a field goal or two field goals or something. I was off that stupid roughing the kicker BS, but oh well, it is what it is.
Well, I lost the game this year, as I've made widely known. I lost the game this year on a field goal that didn't go in. So that's just kind of the way it goes. On to the championship round. So I played Tennessee, and the Saints played the Cowboys. The only thing I could say about Tennessee was just that they kind of got down early. And I want to give a shout out to Satan's Angel. You can't lay down that early, man. You got to quit giving up that early. I know you were down. I think he ended up being down like 17 to nothing in the first half. And he just kind of put it in cruise control. He just kind of said he wasn't into it and wasn't interested. And I thought that was kind of unfortunate. You get all the way to the AFC Championship and a couple of bad – I think he threw a pick on his very first play. So 7-0, then he throws a pick on his very first play, makes it 14-0. Then he goes like 3-and-out, and I end up with a field goal, which made it 17-0. And he just kind of laid down. I mean, in our game, I will say this. I thought in my mind that Chris Johnson had more negative runs than he did positive runs. But the problem was both of his positive runs, one was for like 98 yards and the other was for like 70. So he ended up with almost 200 yards rushing. But I hit him in the backfield a ton.
Yeah, that's it with him. You either get him at the line of scrimmage or he's gone. I mean, once he gets past, there's not really much you can do.
I couldn't explain it. Like he'd either get hit like 2 yards in the backfield, or there was no one. I mean, my safeties were nowhere to be found.
Barry Sanders syndrome.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, I ended up winning that game and moving on to the third straight Super Bowl. But we'll talk about that in a second. And then the Saints beat the Cowboys. Rush said it was a great game. I didn't get to look at any of the stats because I couldn't update the stat website. Do you know anything about the game?
It was a 3-point game. The only thing that looks like it mars the game a little bit was the restarts. I think they had 3 or 4 restarts with some connection issues. So who knows how much that – so that can really ruin the momentum of a game in it.
Nope, that's right. Rush complained about that a lot. He said that in the first game where he – I think he went up 7-0 right off the bat or something like
yes,
that. Had like a really long drive, a lot of momentum, and a lot of confidence he said that he had. And after all the restarts and everything, it was just like a totally different game. Like his players weren't the same. I don't know. But, I can understand. It kind of breaks up the momentum and
the
whatnot.
Stats are pretty even, you know, how far, I don't know how much they're accurate due to some of the maneuverings they tried to do to get the score back to where it was, but I mean they're within 8 yards of each other total offense, and they each had 16-17 yards rushing and about 240 to 250 passing yards, so the stat line almost
it's
just I think had that one extra field goal to win it in the fourth.
Yeah, if I remember, it was a pretty defensive second half.
It was a pretty defensive first half. In the third quarter, they scored like 24 points together in the third quarter. I'm looking at the scoring summary right now.
Okay. Well, congrats to the Saints. They moved on to the Super Bowl to play me. And then in the Super Bowl, he ended up getting the better of me, much to my chagrin, 35-17. The Saints have just kind of built that team like you would build like a freaking tournament team or something. They're just all speed at corner. I think he's got four corners with 96 or above speed, something crazy like that. And so it just catches you off guard. I mean, guys that would normally get open, like, you know, I have plays where I'm like, okay, he's in man, you know, I should be able to look at, you know, this route or this route, and one of these guys should probably be open more often than not, and they just weren't. And so kudos to him for building his team that way, I guess. He's got those fast corners. But obviously, I've talked about it a lot. I thought the difference was really his slot receiver, Randy McClain. He had like four catches for 197 yards and two touchdowns. The interesting thing about that was just that I was the first one that he beat me deep on was totally legit. I mean, it was a horrible matchup, and he took advantage of it, and kudos to him for that. But the other catches, all three of them, were all against like vanilla cover two and cover three, and they were going over my defense's head. And I don't know if that was because my safeties were banged up, so I had backup safeties in. Not that they were bad. My backup safeties are actually probably some of the better backup safeties in the league. But I don't know if it's the fact that Drew Brees has like a high play action rating or what the deal is, but he ended up getting the better of me. Congrats to him. John, anything about the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, those slot plays, it's hard to not take advantage of a good slot receiver, especially if you have a spread style offense, but they're really hard to defend, and it's kind of a known problem with Madden. Hopefully that's something they'll address in the future with some of that play. I mean, it's a double-edged sword there where you want to be able to utilize matchups and your offensive players out of that slot. It's an important position, but you don't want to abuse it. So it's a fine line to ride.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't want to accuse him of anything like that. I mean, he had more catches and more yards and obviously than anyone else. And he didn't really, I think he had one catch by Colston, but his basically between his number one and number two receivers, he had one catch, I think. So
is it that your defenders actually prevented the catches, or are they just not thrown to at all?
I mean, it's possible. Obviously my better corners are going to be matched up on, his better receivers or better overall receivers. But that's just because I don't like that matchup system.
Yeah.
I don't think that it works. It's glitchy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you'll have some guy uncovered occasionally. So I don't like to use that, but I didn't have a guy that could match up with McClain anyway. I actually looked after the fact. I looked at free agency and I was like, man, I should have just went into free agency and grabbed like a 50 overall corner with 90 something, you know, 96 speed and put him out there and probably would have did a better job.
Yeah.
The only thing I didn't do that I regret, which, you know, maybe some teams next season can play and see if this works. I didn't run any cover one bump. That was the one thing I thinking about it now, I didn't think of during the game. Try and bump him off the line and slow him down and then keep that one safety.
Yeah, but if you do Colson's going to burn you.
Well,
I
maybe.
Think that's you.
And
Lee Evans got right past Kareem Jackson, who had 9 interceptions last year, and it's 99-man coverage. So that I ran. Mm-hmm. I think you recall that play. I ran that one time, and he just blew by him. So that's the problem with that play.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It was the one thing I didn't try. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So if I could go back and do it again, that's the one thing I would try. So I wanted to give that little piece of advice to everyone out there.
I'd also say it's not really a surprise given how good he did in previous seasons with the Lions, and you think an upgraded Saints team, he might have been, you know, besides maybe the Cowboys, the favorite or one of the favorite teams to make it as far as he did and win it.
Well, I definitely think looking at his team now, it's funny how they say the NFL is a copycat league, but I mean, I'm looking at the Saints roster. I'm going, okay, you know, how can I follow this model? You know, I need a fast slot receiver and I need some speed corners. And so it's kind of a copycat league, even in the TMFL. So congrats to him. He played a great game. He deserves it. I think he'll be the favorite heading into next season for sure. The Saints, I don't think, are going to lose anybody. So watch out for the Saints next season. Maybe Maybe we'll get Lucky and freaking Darren Sharper, one of the most hardest hitting safeties in the league. Maybe he'll finally retire. But the Saints, I would think. I mean, you tell me, who's the favorite next
well,
season?
You know, this favorite always has to be Super Bowl one.
Yeah, that's my opinion. When I had won it in the past,
but how old are the Saints now, right, though? I mean, how Breeze isn't getting younger? I don't think he went down a lot. I don't know.
I don't think Breeze. I think he's going to need a halfback. I think Reggie Bush has definitely lost a step, but Pierre Thomas is still decent.
He's slow, though.
Yeah, but I mean, he ran the ball a couple of times with Pierre Thomas, and you know, made some yardage.
Colson's
so
getting a little old. How's the defense gonna do? I know he's got some young fast guys.
I can look. I've got the console up here, so I can certainly look. Let's see. Nope, Colston is 31, but he's still 91 overall. I don't really see any weaknesses for that team, honestly.
Not
it's
looking
the same,
good for the NFC, then.
It's the same team that I just played against. He's got gotten a little bit older, but I mean, his corners are just amazing.
How's the salary cap?
90. I haven't looked at his salary cap. Darren Sharper did not retire. He forced a fumble that pretty much ended the game in the Super Bowl. I didn't talk about that too much, but basically I was down, I think I was down 10, and I was kind of in my own territory. I think it was on like the 30 or so. Was third down, I completed a pass, and my receiver broke the tackle, so I was going to get the first down, and I headed upfield. I turned and at the sideline, and I headed upfield, and Darren Sharper just laid him out and forced the fumble, and he picked it up, and the rest is pretty much history at that point. So I was hoping that maybe Darren Sharper would retire, being 38 years old now, but he still has not retired. So Saints are going to be dangerous. Let's take a break. We're going to talk about, I guess, just the draftees and then my ideas. I want to really pound that in. Ideas for free agents. I don't know that those are the final list, but I'll release who I'm thinking of putting out there in free agency when we come back in just a minute. Okay, welcome back to the TMFL podcast. We're going to go ahead and jump right in and do the draftees. So me and John are just going to kind of highlight guys that we think are going to be impact players. I don't know, interesting guys to talk about in the upcoming draft. Hopefully some of you guys have looked at the draft class already, but I can assure you it's freaking loaded compared to the last class that we had. The first guy I want to talk about, maybe we should go position by position. Let's start with the quarterbacks. Is there any quarterback worth mentioning?
I think Pope. The first one.
Yeah, Pope.
He's about the only one.
He's about the only guy that you could
maybe
draft.
late first round.
He's about the only guy that you could draft that would be worth starting. But I don't know that anybody needs a quarterback. Maybe San Francisco, if they're sick of Rock Hargrove.
Well, what about some of the new owners that have picked up some of the crappier teams?
Who? The Bruce took over the Buccaneers, who have Josh Freeman.
That's true.
Frisk is sort of new, but he's got Paris with Vikings.
Oh, he wasn't even playing Paris, though. But
which is that's horrible. Shame on you, Frisk. Shame on you.
He still needs to trade Paris back to me. I'll take him off his hands.
Well, maybe he can work a trade for Andre Johnson or something sick like that. okay, so let's go to running back then. The only guy I wrote down was Terrence Arbit.
Yeah.
84 overall, 96 speed. I kind of pretty much put him in the Copeland mold. Pretty much a do-it-all running back. Anybody that needs a running back. I don't know that anybody needs a running back right now.
They need him. He upgrades a lot of people. He's like a mini Copeland to me. He's just a little slightly worse, but he's still really, really good.
He's got it all. He's got truck. He's got elusiveness. He's got speed. 84 overall, great player, good for any team that needs a running back. Maybe the Bucks. You know, all they got is Blunt, right? Maybe
yeah,
they, maybe they'd like
so.
Maybe they'd like a speed option, so maybe they'll go with Arbit.
If Denver could get it, but I think they'd pick too high.
Denver, I don't think Denver would take it. I
think
really
so?
Don't.
They haven't had a really good rushing attack when they keep getting injuries.
Well, they're a pass first team anyway. In my opinion, I don't think even I've played him when he had Moreno and he was not a factor at all. They don't use him. They don't use him. They don't like him. in my opinion, I just don't think it would matter if Denver even had a chance at a guy like that. But the other note I had here about the running backs is there's some other good speed options out there. So for teams that maybe want to take a second round pick or a third round pick on a running back, there's some other good speed options out there.
Third down back or a change of pace back.
Well, we've talked about kind of at length, me and Rush at least, that we think speed backs are better anyway. So there's some other good options out there. So the man of the draft, as I am calling him, Julian Watson. The game-changing wide receiver, 6'5", 84 overall, 99 speed, 84 catch. And he has other good numbers, too, I'm sure. His catching traffic and release and jump and all that stuff is probably pretty insane. So who in the world is going to get this guy, and what are they going to do with him? I would trade pretty much anything to have
him. He's actually my number two guy. I would say he's my number two guy. He's
number
really
two.
Good.
Well, I know there's one other guy that kind of, for me at least, that ranks up there, but I don't think it's as important as a speed wide receiver.
Yeah, he is also really tall. So, I mean,
it's
what's
insane.
The acceleration like, though?
I think it's crazy. I can look right now. I'll tell you, I'll read all of his stats if you want. Let's see. 72 strength. He's got poor agility. So there's the one downside. He's all straight line speed. He's only got 73 agility, 97 acceleration. He has 84 trucking and 82 elusiveness. Let's see. 84 catch, 81 route, 83 catch in traffic, 89 spectacular catch, 82 release, and 86 jump. There you go. So like
pretty
I said, pretty much the man of the draft, for me at least. That's my number
one. I'm not sure if a human owner is going to get him, though. He might go to the computer.
Oh, God. I hope so. I really do not want to cover him.
I think the Falcons want him.
The Falcons?
Yeah, he'll have 3,000 yards receiving.
What a freaking nightmare that would be with Boris and Roddy White and Julian Watson. That would be unstoppable. The other receiver I wrote down is obviously Hassan Hardrick, 6'2", 79 overall, 96 speed, another speedster. Those are the guys I kind of keyed in on. Is there anyone else that you kind of saw?
No, I think Hardrick is going to be a kind of a sleeper pick. I see him. Someone who gets him in the 10 to 20 range is going to get him a really nice receiver there.
Yeah, I think obviously if we had more seasons, he would still be a fantastic pick. Obviously not going to be as high ever as Watson, but still a great player. Trust me, if he by some ungodly luck made it down to me, I would pick him in a heartbeat.
He wouldn't get past me.
You've got tons of receivers. What do you?
Yeah, no, I trade him for something else.
Oh, of course.
I trade Butler and keep him. There you go.
Yeah, I mean you gotta take the best player available. That's kind of always been my motto. Okay, let's go to tight end. I only listed one tight end. Did you pay attention to any of the tight ends?
Just him, and it looks like he can be a good receiver, too. What I was looking at had him as an 83 overall receiver, so it looks like he's kind of a tweener.
A tweener. Yeah, I mean, in our league especially, it has been a pass-catching, speed, tight end league the entire time. We've seen it with Munchie Kosh and Tanner Talbert, even Tony G, and I know the Falcons have another speed guy now. His name escapes me. The Giants.
Well, I mean, yeah, they get all the stats, but the, you know, you have some of the other better blocking tight ends that open holes for some of the good running backs in the league.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't get any notice, so.
Well, I like to have a better second tight end that's a better blocker than a catcher, but that's just my thing, I guess. Okay, tight end's not really that exciting of a position. I just kind of grouped all the offensive linemen together. I just listed out some of the higher-rated offensive linemen. It's a good year for guard.
Yeah, it's a real good offensive lineman here.
Yeah, this is a good year for guards. If you need a guard or maybe you need a center and you're going to play – excuse me, you're going to play a guard at center. It's a good year for offensive line. Adam McElhaney, 84 overall. Cedric Lawson, 82 overall. Shenard Rigsey, 85 overall. Jordan Moses, 83 overall. I don't know that I can take an offensive lineman. I feel like it just doesn't impact the game enough.
Oh, I disagree. I was kind of – when I went – the biggest adjustment when I went from Minnesota to Houston this year was my weakness in offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my offensive line isn't terrible, but the Minnesota Vikings had a pretty good offensive line, and I noticed it right away. Just some of the holes I was used to getting open for me were not there, and it's definitely a position I want to invest in this offseason if I can land one of those better guys later in the first round.
I think you'll definitely see one of those guards, maybe even two of those guards, get their way down to the late first round just with all the other talent that's in this draft, especially at more marquee positions than offensive line.
Yeah, I think it's just they don't get the numbers, so I think they get overlooked, but I definitely noticed the drop-off.
I agree with you to a point. If you have a dominant player, it can make a real difference, like Jahri Evans or like Minnesota would have had.
Hutchinson.
Yeah, Hutchinson. I think if you have one of those, like, 90s, 95, you know, something like that, those guys can really be worth it. But with it only being one season here that we're going to play, is it really worth it for an 82 overall guard? You know what I mean?
It depends on what else is out there.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you're going to take best available. So if I have to, I'll take a guard, but trust me, I don't want to. Defensive line, I grouped all those guys together as well. My kind of marquee guy I felt like was Ben McClendon, the left end. Is that kind of your top-rated defensive lineman?
Him or Good. I mean, Good's got that speed, that pass-rushing ability. It's kind of a toss-up, I think, on those two guys.
I think McClendon's a do-it-all guy, though. You know what I mean? Like,
if you're running the 3-4, you're going to want McClendon. If you're running a 4-3 or a lot of nickel or something, Good.
Yeah, that's true. It's more like a scheme-based decision. I think I would take McClendon either way because I feel like he can do both. He can rush the passer as well as get off the block and stop the run. He's better, you know, especially against teams like Tennessee that like to run outside. You know what I mean? I feel like those defensive ends that can get off blocks instead of just rush the passer.
Yeah. Well, maybe somebody you think about Good, he gets to the corner. He might actually have the top end speed to keep up with Johnson.
What I'll say about that is if you're user controlling him, sure. Absolutely. But that's not going to be the case unless you're crazy. That's not going to be the case most of the time, especially against the run. Now, pass rushing, I mean, that's just insane. 93 speed, you could pretty much sit there and just run right around the tackle.
Yeah,
with that kind of speed. So it's interesting. I think you're going to see a team maybe take a chance with him to see if they can make the impact that they want, you know? You can't really...
Oh, I can tell you, I'd love to have Good to pair with...
Williams?
Mario Williams over there. I mean, what would you do? I mean, a lot of people try to avoid Williams in that play. I mean, if you have the other guy running around you at the other side, that'd be it. But I'm dreaming. I won't get him. But
yeah, that's what I mean. I think you're going to see a team that that thinks that maybe they can figure out how to use that 93 speed to really make a difference to get to the quarterback, especially if you're like me. It makes a lot of sense for me, although I don't run – the 4-3, I kind of run some, probably I would say more vanilla than a lot of other people. I run a lot of just vanilla cover 3 or cover 2. And if I could get a guy that could actually get to the quarterback when I'm doing that, that would be amazing.
And I wonder what he'd be as an outside linebacker.
Probably terrible, if I had to guess. His zone coverage is probably -5. So, yeah.
Yeah, you don't zone coverage that guy. You just
that's true. That's true. You have him blitz every single down. Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Okay. The other defensive lineman I highlighted was Brandon Miller, the defensive tackle, 82 overall, 99 strength. I felt like he could just basically be the centerpiece for any defense, whether you're 3-4, 4-3. He can pretty much play in any scheme. I know you'd probably like to have a good crack at him, huh?
Oh, yeah. He's not going to drop to me. I'm going to have a somewhere in the mid-20s, I'd imagine, and I would imagine he'd be gone ahead of that.
So who do you think of those defensive linemen are going to go first then? Do you think it's going to be Good or McClendon? And then do you think Miller will be bringing up the caboose?
I don't think Miller. Yeah, I think Miller's going to be the third one picked. People just don't get as excited over the DTs mm-hmm. in this game. I think you're going to find a guy. If the computer takes him, they're going to take McClendon. If it's a user, I have a feeling someone's going to jump on that 93 speed. I just have a feeling.
Yeah, I still think McClendon, but that's just a personal preference. Let's move on to outside backer. So your guy, Marvin Williams, I didn't even look at this guy because I felt like this is just a speed linebacker class. You know what I mean? There's all these linebackers with fast speed. But your guy, Marvin Williams, 81 overall, 82 speed. I felt like he was probably the most balanced linebacker, him and, Demetrius Tyler, the middle backer.
Yeah, and Johnson's not bad, too, with 86 speed, 78 overall.
So there's some balance, guys. I think a lot of owners are going to be really happy to finally get the good, either fast or nicely balanced linebackers into their systems. I think these are going to be some of the guys that are going to go pretty high. Marvin Williams, go ahead.
It's fairly deep. There's about six or seven guys worth
it. It's pretty deep. So if you want a linebacker, you're going to get one.
That's what I'm sad about. I'm happy with my linebackers. So this is a position that's deep in the draft that I don't really need.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely take one, but I'm kind of in the position where I don't have to. I feel like I can maybe get around it somehow. I have needs that are higher on my board, I guess I would say. The other linebacker, outside backer, was Sharif Droven, 73 overall, 92 speed. Yeesh. Let's move on to middle backer. So, Sil Adhig, I can't say it. Can you say it?
Adhigazuma.
I think this is the best linebacker in the draft. He's only 76 overall, 88 speed, 92 hit power. But something I wanted to highlight on him is his agility. He has like 90 agility or something like that.
But is he going to be a guy that you're only going to want to use your control because his awareness is terrible?
Probably. I've used him in offline franchises, and I just love his agility. His speed-agility combination really makes him unique. And he's a little on the shorter side, which, you know, obviously is kind of a drawback as well. But in my opinion, that's the best linebacker in the class with that 88 speed, 92 hit power, and a really high agility as well. Is there another guy you wanted to mention, maybe?
No one else. I'm probably more on the Williams. I like the more balanced linebacker to where if I'm not controlling him, I have at least somewhat of a confidence in him on the computer.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I do as well. I take a faster guy and I control him, and then I let the other guys just kind of play. Okay, let's move on to corner then. The one guy listed at corner was Kyle Akinwand, 6'1", 81 overall, 96 speed. Probably one of the premier players in the draft, I would say, just because of the position he plays. Kind of that Champ Bailey lockdown corner. I didn't look at his other stats like man coverage and whatnot, but I'm sure it's pretty good. Anybody who gets this guy,
it's decent.
I'm sure anybody who gets this guy is gonna really like it. I would expect him to go pretty high in the draft.
Yeah, I'd imagine. I think his man coverage is in zone coverage in the upper 70s, lower 80s ish area. It's not terrible, not great, but to go with the 96.
Yeah, I think
speed,
it's,
you know,
potentially it's a top cool. 10 a top 10 pick. But we'll see. Are there any other corners that you kind of saw?
I like Ajala. He reminds me of my Kareem Jackson. He played really well for me. He's not blazing speed. He's got 90 speed, but he's got 92 man coverage, and that's Kareem Jackson is kind of like that for me. He was a little slower, but he had that good man coverage and just had a lot of.
Yeah, how did Kareem Jackson end up with that many picks? Do you play a lot of zone, or you just throw him in man? And
I think most of his picks were in man.
Okay.
But he might have gotten, I can't recall each and every one, sure. But or a lot of them were on blitzes where the quarterback tried to get rid of the ball and he just jumped the route. There's a lot of them happened, but he just seemed to always get there and he never really dropped them. Dyer, I think, had one pick and he's my super fast corner and he just couldn't catch anything that went his way. So Kareem just seemed to always, but I'm pissed at him. He dropped like 5 points.
Yeah,
after getting 9 picks.
Maybe that's what we can talk about for our little Madden 12 segment. Maybe we can talk about, because I posted this in the forum, some of my ideas for if they do give us control over that type of thing next year. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to free safety, the premier position in the draft, the deepest position in the draft, and the premier, one of the premier players, a top three pick.
This is my number one guy.
A top three pick, I would say. Taquan Foley, 86 overall, 99 speed. He's more of a cover guy, I would think, right? I don't think he has that high of...
Well, he has 84 hit power. He brings it. You know, that's not too bad. And he can cover well. He's got good zone.
Right, that's why I thought he was kind of more of a zone guy, but I didn't look at his hit power. But yeah, just kind of a game changer, really, and that kind of the same thing I talked about with Watson. Wide receiver, but my opinion on free safety is that it's not as impactful as people think. Maybe I shouldn't be saying that coming off the Super Bowl where my safeties got dominated.
You know, if you had him, he might not have.
Obviously,
gotten
if I had a player
people.
Like Taquan Foley, I think I'd have been better off against a guy like Randy McClain. But I'm never going to have a chance at a player like Foley anyway. So it just is a game changer. He changes how you play defense. You can put him in man and let him, you know, man up on a slot guy, or you can let him play the deep zone and he's got speed so you can user him and come down in the box and still cover the pass or come up and take away those outside runs. I mean, just a game-changing player, 86 overall. So he's going to go really high, if not the top user pick, probably one of the top two or three user picks, I would say, or the computer will jump all over him, one or the other. And then Carlos Bailey was the other guy I listed. I know you've got one more guy you want to list. Carlos Bailey, the highest rated player in the draft. I think there's not a higher rated player in any draft. I don't think I've ever seen any other player at 88 overall coming in.
Yeah, this guy's another top five pick to me. I mean, he's still
he can do
quick.
It all.
He's all around. A
yeah,
player,
I thought he was more of the run stopper. You know, he's not really the coverage guy. I think his zone coverage is quite a bit worse than Foley's, but still a really high rated player. I'm sure his play recognition and awareness and whatnot are really high. So great player.
I mean, he walks in. He's better than half the corner or half the free safeties in the league.
And then you had another guy.
Yeah, I also liked Thompson. And he's 82 overall, but he's got 97 speed. So he's kind of like a little mini Foley there, and he's blazing fast. Someone's going to jump. It looks like there'll be three or four safeties, maybe in the top 10, 15 picks.
Yeah, safety is always one of those positions that everyone wants, and it doesn't seem like enough people can get. And you heard it with Rush last season, going crazy about making sure he got his free safety that he wanted.
Well, I think part of the problem is it's hard to keep your safety's higher rating. They tend to regress.
I would agree with that. Jairus Byrd has been a potential and has only progressed, I think, twice. So we've had, four off seasons, right? Or is this, four off seasons, and he's went up twice and went down twice. It's stupid. He's a young, a potential player. I would think he would either go up a lot or marginally go up or marginally go down. Not I don't know. It just irritates me to see him go down when maybe it's the injuries, you know, because he's been injured. He was injured in both seasons that he went down. I think that maybe that had a factor. Anyway, Strong safety. Nick Martin is the only guy I listed here. 80 overall, 94,
yeah, same
94
for me.
speed. Felt like he could probably play for pretty much any team.
He's got the 88 hit power. I mean, he can, he'll step up and mm-hmm. play the run. He's got the speed to get back on the pass.
Yep. I again, another player I would take, but I don't think he'll come down to me that far. Okay, so that's it for our highlights of the draft. I'm not going to highlight any kickers or punters. Let's move on to the free agency ideas. These are the guys, like I said, I'm not firm on whether these guys are coming out, but I am thinking about it. Ocho Cinco is the first guy, so older receiver, but I think he's still 88 overall, something like that, right?
Yeah. For one season, he's
right.
worth... Right,
that was kind of my thinking. For one season, if you...
And he should have been gone anyway.
If you could maybe get him on your team, and maybe he can make a difference for you. The other guy from Cincinnati, right guard, Bobby Williams, a good offensive guard, kind of in the same mold. He's really old, but I think he's like 86, 87 overall, so he can still play. Moving on to Cleveland, I got Colt McCoy out there. So maybe there's a team like San Francisco that's in the market for a QB.
You know what I see him as? I see him as a middle of the season injury insurance.
Yeah, I thought that kind of as well. I thought maybe a team would make a play for him either early as a backup plan, you know, as kind of a contingency mm-hmm. plan, or of course later on in the season, maybe your star guy goes down and you need a guy and hey, there's Colt McCoy. Sticking with the quarterbacks, kind of jumping around on my list here, but the other QB I pulled out of there was Donovan McNabb from Washington. Seems like it kind of makes sense given how he ended up last year in the real NFL. So figured, why not? We'll throw Donovan McNabb out there. He's still like, I think he's like 84, 85 overall. So still decent, yeah. Can get the job done for you. Maybe San Francisco. I keep bringing up San Francisco. Maybe San Francisco is tired of Rock Hargrove.
And maybe Frisk over in Minnesota might want him. I don't know how fast for release he has, but I know he prefers the quarterbacks that release the ball.
Interesting. Frisk, go out there, hit up the practice mode, test out Donovan McNabb, and send your results to Jay Mustang about whether...
Oh, I don't want him.
I mean, you want Paris, right?
Oh, yeah. Give me Paris. No, I mean, I think I have a hard time parting with Schaub. He turned around and had a really good season by the end of that year, so... He did well for me, so it'd be hard to justify letting him go, I think, at this point.
I see. Okay, well.
We'll see. We'll see. If the opportunity presents itself, I'll definitely look into it.
So. All right. The other guy I put out there, another Colts player, kind of pulled Colts players in the past, so I'll stick with that. Robert Mathis, the defensive end. So I wanted to get a pass rusher out there, made sure that I was able to do that. 4-3, I think. Is kind of was my thinking. I'll get a 4-3 guy. I'll get a 3-4 guy. We'll get to the other guy later. But Robert Mathis, he'll be out there. And then since Dallas is now a CPU-controlled team, that's my little screw you to rush. Grab Jay Ratliff off of the Cowboys. I think he's like 85, 86 overall. So if you need a defensive tackle, should be a pretty good option there. And then this guy, I think going to be one of the hotter players in free agency here. I don't know his first name, but Jay Jekyll, right outside linebacker from Philadelphia. I think he's got 90 speed and pretty decent overall. So I think he's going to be maybe one of those teams that misses out on those linebackers in the draft. Here's your guy, Jay Jekyll. Jacksonville went with offensive line here. Figured I'd put one guard and one tackle into this group here that we're throwing out. So Eugene Monroe from Jacksonville, I think he's a mid-80s offensive tackle if you need a guy there. Here's going to be a hot number, I think. Well, I don't know how hot he'll be considering the other guy I've got here from the wide receiver group, but Detroit was loaded at wide receiver, so I grabbed one of theirs. Wide receiver Ciali Davis, I think he was a Falcon at one point and then got traded to Detroit in the Javid Best Michael Turner trade, if I'm not mistaken. Yep.
Sounds right.
And so he's now going to be a free agent. I think he's got like 88 speed, taller guy, so more of a possession guy, but I think he's
good number two.
Definitely a good number two for anyone out there in the market for a receiver. And then this guy, here's your speed wide receiver, St. Louis wide receiver, Donnie Avery, 96 speed. I went ahead and threw him out there. We did it a couple seasons ago with Devery Henderson, so we'll throw it out there again. Donnie Avery is going to be out there. I think this might be the highest rated player that's going into free agency here. Wanted to get a 3-4 end. Defensive end Chris Long from the Rams is also going to be available. I think he's like 90 overall. So maybe there's a team.
You really picked
on
the Rams.
Yeah, I did. It just kind of worked out that way. It is what it is. And then I wanted to get a speed corner. Like I said before during the conversations about the Saints, I would kind of look to the Saints at how they did it, you know, and I'm looking for, like, how can I improve? So I wanted to get a speed corner out there, not just for me, obviously. I think other teams, I'm probably not going to be active in free agency anyway. So I got a speed corner. He's like mid-70, maybe low 70s overall. I think it's Matthew Cato is his name, but he's got like 96, 97 speed, real fast. So I got one of those guys out there for you as well. Okay. Like I said, that's tentative. That's not official, but free agency is going to be a big deal this year. So
if anyone has any cap room to buy them,
I think people will. Teams like Atlanta seem to think that they're going to have cap room. So you tell me. I looked at mine. I don't have any cap room. Do you?
I'm going to have to do some magic over there.
Magic?
See what happens.
Mine's not magic. I'm cutting people. It's not magic. People are not getting re-signed that I would love to re-sign. It's just the bottom line. Like, my receiver, Marcus Easley, is going to kill me. He's my number three wide receiver, but he's got like 90-something catch. It's going to kill me to let him go, but...
I got to re-sign Scott and think a corner and some linemen. It's going to make
me
cry.
I've just got too many guys that I got to re-sign, so he's just going to be on the chopping block, unfortunately. On to Madden 12. I didn't think we were going to talk Madden 12, but we will for a minute. I wanted to talk about, maybe you have some ideas as well, if they do give us the ability to edit rosters an online franchise next year, how do you feel about that? Are you against it?
I guess it all depends. If they're going to implement some of the dynamic progression that they're talking about for offline dynasty or franchise, then that would be awesome. And I think we definitely want to try using that. Now, if they don't, and
I don't expect that they will.
Skeleton
really
system
don't.
Like this again, then maybe we can implement some system. But if you start talking about some kind of implementation of progression system, it's along with salary cap maybe and all this other stuff. That's a lot of micromanagement. That'd be kind of hard to keep track of, and then you really start getting into judgment calls and stuff. I mean, it's something that we can investigate, but I'd be a little bit reserved about how it actually play out.
My idea, my feelings on it were kind of this. I don't think in my limited knowledge of what's going on at EA, I don't feel like they're doing anything for online franchise. I really don't. I feel like there's a chance that my league manager site is going to be brought in some capacity to help manage online franchises, but I don't think on the console we're going to be given a whole lot to work with. I think obviously some.
I don't.
Go ahead.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's a reason why they're waiting until July 20 something or whatever to let us know anything about Dynasty. I think they're still working on the online Dynasty stuff, and they're trying to see what they can get in. And I think they may say also that they're delaying Madden for. You know, the lockout and stuff, but I think it might also be to try to implement some of this online stuff.
Well, I think...
And it's a convenient excuse.
Here's the thing to remember. They have other online modes that they have. They obviously have just plain old ranked games and whatnot, and they've already said that there's going to be a system, a lobby system, about matching up like-minded gamers. That's happening, okay? So they have to do that. They already said that that's coming. Then they've got, obviously, the hugely successful Ultimate Team,
So I'm expecting some bells and whistles, some maybe tournament mode, something that's going to be added there. And then you've got their...
I think they talked about that, though. I think they've released some Ultimate Team
But not necessarily all of it.
No, yeah. But then again, we haven't heard anything about Online Dynasty. You think if they weren't adding anything, they'd just say, hey, nothing about Online Dynasty. There's some nuggets in there we're going
to
get.
That's a good way to put it. There are some nuggets, but what those nuggets are, we don't know yet. But then they also have their 3v3 mode, which I think has a lot of potential if they do it correctly.
That'd be fun.
I would really, maybe in that FIFA mold that you...
If you could build up your own...
Maybe you take a player. Maybe you take a rookie. Maybe you're not allowed to create a player. Maybe you have to take a rookie. I don't know what the answer is, but... If they add some RPG elements in there instead of just pay $5 to make your player special, if they add some RPG elements in there, it could be a really successful game mode. I had a lot of fun just playing with Rush last season, so hopefully in the TMFL maybe we can get some 3v3 games going. Maybe AFC versus NFC or some interesting storylines there. I think the game mode has some potential, and I think that they're going to invest in that. And don't forget, they're probably improving on game flow as well. We haven't heard anything about game flow yet. But anyway, back to my point. I do think Online Franchise is going to get something. I don't think it's going to be what we hope. And in that regard,
it's never going to be what we hope.
In that same thought process, I'm hoping, praying to God that they give me, the commissioner, the ability to edit rosters. If they give me the ability to edit potentials too, that would be great. But my idea, as far as how that works, if they do give me that ability, is just quite simple. You designate, as a team, you're going to have franchise players or star players. So maybe you get two, maybe you get three, maybe you only get one. I don't know how maybe there's tiers of it. Maybe there's tier one, you get one. Maybe tier two, you get two guys that are tier two. You know what I mean? You kind of break it up. And that's how your progression follows. Your star player is going to get max progression. A player below that is not going to get, it's going to get a little bit less. And then you start adding in other factors like statistics and yada yada and age. And I feel like we can work together to design a system that works that we can agree on. That's just my opinion. But
If they fix free agency and salary caps with the Online Franchise, and they do stuff like allowing position changes.
Yeah, position changes. I think that's better, it. I don't think that they'll ignore that.
Some better stat recording stuff, just flesh it out a little more, and if they just allow you to maybe user update, if the progression system sucks, then that's something that'd be great. At least we had those other must-haves to me.
I agree completely.
Everything else, if that's gravy, and then just allow us to control that stuff, that'd be cool, but I'm guardedly optimistic, I guess.
I'm pretty pessimistic at this point, I think, but...
I was pumped up by all the offline stuff.
Oh, I know.
The
offline stuff is huge. It's going to be a great year, I think, for Madden offline, but online is what we care about. So we'll see. It should be interesting. I don't want to waste too much more time. I think we've had quite a long podcast here. So I appreciate everyone's time. I'm glad that you guys are still listening. John, thanks for doing this. You're going to continue to do these, right?
Sure. Yeah, it's fun. You don't have to do it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or anything.
Okay, cool. Well, that's more convenient for me. That's all, Maybe you need to take a half day.
Oh, I wish I could take half
day. Okay. Like I said, thanks guys for listening. John's going to be back. We'll be back here in a couple weeks. We'll do another one. We're out.